Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios in New York. I'm Pharrell with Cover High Mafia. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Don't forget, this weekend, Big 3 Basketball wraps up its regular season with the teams fighting for playoff positioning. And on Sunday, it's NFL preseason action with the Saints and the Chargers. It all happens on CBS. Ryan Aber covers the Sooners for the Oklahoman. Great paper, great team, great program. They're rocking in Norman. Ryan is on the bench. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm hanging in. So last couple of nights on the show, I've been talking at some length or another about Jalen Hurts and about the Sooners and about Lincoln Riley and the whole deal with this kid coming there and working and trying to get the job. I find it, is it all, just you have to tell me, is it all fake? Is this all fake, this game that Riley is playing with everyone, that this guy isn't going to be your starting quarterback? Because it is kind of, it really is kind of ridiculous, isn't it, at some point? We all think it is.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Jalen Hurts is going to be their starting quarterback. But at the same time, you can see why Lincoln Riley does it, to keep those other guys, especially the backup, presumptive backup, Tanner Mordecai, engaged in the battle. He did the same thing with Austin Kendall last year, wanted to keep him engaged to the last minute, although we knew that Kyler Murray was very likely to be the starter, and of course he was and was fantastic. I don't think there's any question that Jalen Hurts is going to be the starter against Houston to open the season, barring injury. But like I said, you sort of get what he's doing, but it's still sort of funny. Everybody knows, but Lincoln Riley is very adamant about not saying it.
So you've obviously covered it and seen him. This kid was unbelievable, if you ask me, in Tuscaloosa. And not only that, he saved their season. I mean, this guy literally saved Tua's ass and Saban's ass, and now he's your quarterback. And what have you seen from your own coverage of him, and what do you think of him as a Sooner?
Well, I think the most impressive thing has nothing to do with the way he can throw the football or do anything else football-wise. It's just the leadership and ownership that he took in this team immediately. When he walked in the door, it was not only his offense, but it was his team. And he's very clearly the leader on this team and carries himself that way. He's sort of an old soul. You know, he seems like he's a 40-year-old man and a kid in his early 20s body, but he's a different kind of guy. You know, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray had very distinctive personalities, and Jalen Hurts is the complete opposite end of the spectrum. So it's been really interesting to watch the way that that's unfolded. I do think he's going to be a guy that's going to surprise some people on the field with some of the things that he's going to be asked to do in Norman that he wasn't asked to do in Tuscaloosa, that I think he's able to accomplish from what we've seen. But it's going to be really interesting to see just the difference in this offense now versus last year versus what we saw when Baker was around.
So Ryan Aber with us. He covers the Sooners for the Great Oklahoman. Tell me what you know of his hire of Alex Grinch to run the defense. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Grinch, from all indications, has been the perfect fit for what Oklahoma needs. Now, we'll see how that plays out when they start the season, because early last season I thought their defense was going to be the best since Mike Stoops returned, and by halfway through the season he was run out of town. But Alex Grinch brought accountability to that defense, You know, they were 129th last year in pass defense in the NCAA. And over the offseason, everything that OU did on the defensive side as far as conditioning and things like that, there was some form of that 129 number, whether it's 129 seconds to finish a running drill or 129 reps of something to do it. So he was very in your face about how bad they were last year defensively. I think it's going to take some time to get in the players that he wants because they were a different style, especially up front on the defensive side. But I think they've got a chance at least to make a fairly significant jump on that side. And it seems like Alex Grinch and Lincoln Riley really complement each other pretty well.
So Ryan Aber with us covers the Sooners for the Oklahoma. CeeDee Lamb is a stud. And how do you get, like, because his game's already rock star status, if you ask me. How does he take it to the next level?
Well, I think the biggest thing is adding more yards after the catch. That's one of the things that Lincoln Riley talked about, that last year, you know, he'd make these fantastic catches, and he's great in traffic, but sometimes he would either run out of steam or fall down maybe pretty quickly after making a catch. I think that's the biggest step forward for him because he's got everything else. He's got fantastic hands. I mean, heck, a play that he made last year against UCLA that wasn't a catch because he landed just out of bounds was probably the most impressive athletic play that I've seen on my time covering OU, much less last year. And this kid's a freak athlete. But he's also not afraid to get his head in there and make catches in traffic and block when they needed him. He had a couple just, bone-jarring blocks last year. The one stands out in that Orange Bowl loss against Alabama, sort of de-cleated a guy, which you don't see out of tall, lanky wide receivers much. So I think he's pretty close there. But this year it's his receiving group to take the reins of. Last year he was sort of number two to Marquise Brown. So not that that's a bad person to be number two to,
right.
But
right.
He's clearly their top option, and maybe has a chance to be, I think, one of, if not the best receiver in college football.
And then is he making Charleston Rambo better? And how about these kids like Hasselwood, the Weezer, and Bridges, the three young kids that they got learning from these other guys that have played there?
Yeah, Charleston Rambo is a guy that I think gets sort of overlooked because of, one, CeeDee Lamb, and two, those three five-star recruits that you mentioned. But I think he's ready to take a big leap forward. I think another guy that gets overlooked a lot is Lee Morris, who was Kyler Murray's favorite target, both at Allen High School and last year at OU. But those three five-star freshmen, it's going to be really interesting to see how much they're able to contribute and if there's one guy who really makes a leap forward and takes the reins as maybe the top of those guys, like CeeDee Lamb did a couple of years ago, and it took Charleston Rambo a couple of years to get on the field much. But the guy that I really look as maybe the leader of that group of three five-stars is Jaden Hazelwood, the kid you mentioned. He's from Georgia, sort of grew up an OU fan because his dad is from Oklahoma City, but moved to Georgia when he was in college. And then Hazelwood was one of the top wide receivers in the class, been committed to Georgia for a long, long time, and then the Sooners come in there and swoop him out there at the end. I think he's a guy who has a lot of the combination of skills that work perfectly in Lincoln Riley's offense. And if I had to guess one of those freshmen to be the big guy on campus this year, it'd be Jaden Hazelwood.
So, Ryan, tell me about what happened to Trey Norwood, and is he done for the year? I heard that D-back hurt his knee this week in practice. Is he toast?
Yeah, he is done for the year, and that's a really tough loss for Oklahoma on the back end of their defense. Their secondary wasn't very good at all last year, but Trey Norwood was one of the few bright spots, mainly because he could play anywhere they needed him. There was a practice early in preseason camp this year where he spent time at corner, nickel, and safety during that time. He had played corner for most of last year, shifted over to nickel and safety late in the season as they wanted to they had some issues, especially at nickel, with the freshman Buki Radley Hile struggling at the end of last year. And their depth at safety especially is pretty thin. They feel pretty good about their top two guys right now. But beyond that, Alex Wrench seemed pretty worried about that. So I think nickel is another spot where, you know, I think they feel okay going in there with Radley Hiles right now. They feel like he's made some steps since his freshman year last year. But at the same time, Trey Norwood just really hurt their depth, not only at where he was playing, but a couple of other spots just because he was so versatile.
So is it Sermon and Brooks that are going to get the load in the backfield now because Kyler's gone and everything? Who's going to be running the ball?
Yeah, I think Trey Sermon is a number one there. I think people sort of overlook him mainly because of the finishing kick that Kennedy Brooks had last year. He was fantastic near the end of last season. But Trey Sermon's been a guy who's been so consistent for them. You know, I don't think they go into Ohio State a few years ago and win if it wasn't for him. He's had some really big moments, but those two are going to carry the load. But a guy that I think's got a chance to nose his way into that rotation is Ramondre Stevenson, the JUCO running back that they've got this year. I think he's got a chance to, especially be a short yardage guy for them. He's been drawing rave reviews to this point in camp. So I think Sermon and Brooks are going to be one and two. But beyond that, I look for Stevenson to be a guy who's got a chance to make a big impact as well.
So of all those games, obviously the delicious game with Texas is the one everybody cares about. But I got to be honest with you, Ryan. I don't have a problem with any game they have. I mean, to me, that they'll destroy everyone they play. That's the only game that gives you something to worry about, to be honest with you. Who's going to beat them?
Well, you know, there's a couple of interesting things to think about with this team, and I think the schedule is very favorable, especially with the seeming slow ramp up. But I think the two games that really stand out to me beyond Texas are, one, the Houston game, just because you've got Alex Grinch putting in that defense for the first time. You know, how does that look there? Dana Holgorsen is obviously a fantastic offensive mind. And also the fact that OU is losing four of their offensive linemen from last year who were really good last year. All four of those guys that they lost were picked in the first four rounds of the NFL draft. So, you know, maybe it takes their offensive line a little bit to come together. I still think that they're going to win that game to start off the season at home against Houston. The other one that really stands out to me is Iowa State, just because it seems like Matt Campbell, as good as anybody in the country or anybody especially in the Big 12 has been, is slowing down Lincoln Riley's offense. It's been Matt Campbell there at Iowa State. And last time Iowa State visited Norman, they were able to knock off the Sooners. So I wouldn't pick them to win that game, but it's also not one of those games that I'm going to say OU is just going to run away and hide. So it is a favorable schedule for OU, but not without a couple of pitfalls, at least.
I got to tell you, I like Dana Holgorsen, and I think he'll do a nice job in Houston eventually. And I think you lose a guy like Oliver, and you bring in a new coach, a new staff, and you lose your star player, and more than just Oliver. And I don't see how they actually can go on the road to Norman in week one and beat that football team. It's, you know, to me, not happening. I'll give you, Iowa State has given them fits before, but the game obviously with Texas is an issue. I guess Iowa State I'll give you, but to me that looks like a run the tables type team. Oklahoma loaded again. Great stuff tonight, Ryan Aber. Thanks for getting us caught up on the Sooners from the Oklahoman, Ryan Aber. Ryan, thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio.
Absolutely. Always enjoy it. Thanks for having
me. My man, we'll catch up throughout the season, see how the Sooners are doing.
Sounds great.
All right, there he is, Ryan Aber of the Oklahoma, great paper. 855-212-4227. I just got a text, Mafia, from 34C with videos from Chopper of our game tonight. And her only comment, it would appear to me, was, I don't know how. Wait, what does it say? I don't know how you haven't been thrown out yet. I can't believe what. You're
100% accurate.
You're crazy. Here's another one. You're going to have a heart attack. Mafia, I thought I did a nice job of sucking those players into violence and them shoving me and putting their hands on me got us the technical that tied the game. And you can't deny we knocked them off their perch when they were.
That did work out in our favor somehow.
They were crazy, and we weren't. I was crazy.
But the rest of us were not.
Stuck the free throws. I was crazy. Those last two. I stuck them, even though I was insane. The one to tie it and the two to win it.
Yep.
But, if I'm so crazy, then how do those fall? I made them crazy. You're crazy. Mafia showed up. He's got pneumonia. Thank God. It's Jordan rules. Mafia playing tonight with Jordan rules.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Mafia, I wanted to ask you about the game a little bit. Have I already asked you about the game? Did I already do it, Carver? Because I don't want to ruin the show. I've already done it. Mafia, I just wanted to ask you one simple question. Do you seriously think that I wouldn't get the man of the year in the league in terms of my PR and relationships and friendship making?
Really? You definitely wouldn't after tonight. That's for damn sure.
Well, you know the kid that's the captain of the team, right?
Yes.
Like, so was he not crying?
He was a whiny little bee.
He just wouldn't stop crying. Did you hear him crying about?
He wanted his friends to play with him.
The kid that won, he wanted to play. Every time he plays again, he puts 35 points in.
Right. They just kept giving him the ball when he was out there.
It was simple. The plan was to get him to play and to beat us.
Right.
Because he's like the best player on the floor, and no one can stop him. And the minute he came in, the game changed. You notice that. He hit every shot he took almost. He missed a couple driving layups. That really was the end because we got the rebounds. But he made most of his shots. But the other kid complained the whole game because he was mad that his friend couldn't play.
He did the whole time.
So finally, I just told him to shut the Pharrell up. I'm like, go back to college. Stop crying. You know, you're at least your brother's not a bee like you. And that got him. I'd sent him over the edge. He had jumped off the cliff already. I made him so mad. He never made another basket. And then the little kid was like 5'1". He's not taking me on, 6'3", 220. It ain't happening. I told him. I said, my daughter's bigger than you. And then that was the end of him arguing with me. And then did you see me turn around and look at all the guys from Splash, and they were laughing because they thought it was so funny because they knew what I was doing to them.
Right.
It was all mental. And then the kid that shoved me, I got him to get the double. He got tacked. He put his hands on me. That was why we won the game.
It was.
Because we got two and the ball.
Right, because we were down at that point, and we wouldn't have a chance to get the ball or really do anything at that point.
We were losing.
We're down, yeah.
We were going to lose until he shoved me. That was that changed everything.
It did.
I saw the video. I have the video right here of him shoving me. Chopper filmed it. She was over there eating bubble gum, loving it. She loves fights and arguments and when I get into it with people. I thought my language was horrific tonight. I just wanted to say.
As usual, yes.
You could hear the tape, like the videotapes of me talking with him. I have video.
Pretty much anytime you're not on the air, your language is always terrible.
It is. I just wanted to say that I'm a horrific person and a heathen and a sinner.
Carver, I'm a hell in a handbasket.
Carver High, my language, as you know, is deplorable. And the more we smoke and gamble in Vegas, the more the bad language comes out. My language tonight was deplorable, but it was really good. It was like a 9.5 out of 10 in terms of humiliating people and hurting people's feelings and making people snap. I had everyone on the other team ready to. I mean, they were all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
That's good. You got to keep them honest. You did that.
We earned the right to play in the semifinals on Monday against the best team in the league that we just lost to by 4 at the end of the game when we missed 2 free throws.
Is this the team that got all their players taken off the team?
Yeah, this is the team that had, that got, one of them got thrown out when fighting, but this is the team that has 3 pro players on it. So they play in Europe, all 3 of them. Like, they get paid to play basketball. So, like, in my view, this is just me, they shouldn't be playing in some fat old guy wash rec league, in Jersey. Fair enough, Mafia? Do you think that pro players should be allowed to play in our league?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's certain leagues where there's a bunch of guys like that, so it evens out, but when you just got, regular Joe Schmoes. It's just stupid to have these
so
guys.
So they should be playing in a super ultra-talented league of really good players, not in our fat guy league.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't the guy who trains all the kids, like, originally in the league, and they told him he couldn't play anymore because he was too good?
He was too good, so they kicked him out. And then we play against these 3 on Monday night. We have, like, no chance.
Yeah, with everybody not showing up, apparently, or injured.
Well, one guy tore his Achilles tonight, didn't he?
That's what he thinks.
He thinks he popped his Achilles. He played the last 5 minutes with a torn Achilles.
Nice to let us know that after the game when he's guarding the best player on the court and getting burned every time.
That was why I didn't know why he was getting so lit up. I just thought it was because the guy is so good. But
he was
actually
getting lit up with that good last
He was game, literally so. Getting lit up because his Achilles popped.
Yeah.
He couldn't run. But you got to admit, dude, we pulled that one out of our tush tonight.
We did.
Because we should have lost.
We should have. Yeah, they tried to throw the ball away. I mean, throw the game away with all of the turnovers. I mean, we had guys trying to dribble through the double team and turning it over.
What
like
did you think
times,
of the Paulie's charge that they called on him? Did you think that was a charge?
It was hard for me to tell at the other end whether it was a charge or not. I mean, it's a tough call at that point in the game, especially that close to the basket. I mean, more so, how about his pass when we're like, all right, let's have him inbound the ball because he can't run.
Oh,
and then
God.
Just chucks it right to the other team at midcourt.
And then how about, yeah, that was the one I told him to throw me long.
Yeah.
And he threw it right to him and
Which,
gave
yeah,
him a chance
great idea
to win
too.
The game.
Send the slowest guy deep. That'll work out well.
Didn't that give him the chance to win the game?
It did, yeah.
But they missed. It was beautiful. Do you think any of them will jump in a river tonight or anything?
No, I do not.
Well, I hope at least one of them does. Which one did you think I made the maddest?
I guess the captain. Although, I mean, the other guy had nothing to do with you. And then he goes and shoves you. Like, you must have ticked him off pretty well for no
reason
because you weren't even involved with him.
He cost his team the game.
He did.
So
was a tough play.
Nice job by him to shove me. That cost him the game.
Look at what happens.
That cost him the game. Idiot. Anyway, I like those guys. After the game, I gave them all a hug and told them to have fun back in college, dating 10 women at a time and lying to all of them and doing drugs for 10 months. I said, I'll see you next summer when you're off of all the drugs. And good game tonight, buddy. Sorry. And by the way, my daughter can beat you up. That's the last thing I said to the little guard. By the way, that's my daughter. She can beat you up. And he was like, what'd you just say to me?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Who's the best football handicapper? PharrellOnTheBench.com. That's who. Who do they trust me? That's who. College football pro plays all season long. No one can touch me. Baseball through the World Series, boxing, MMA, every big fight. It's all on PharrellOnTheBench.com. You're going to love it. Every pick, every game, every play, every day. Everything that's on the board, you get them all sent to you in an email with the picks ranked favorite to least. The best picks, the best price, buck a day, son. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. So there you go. Did you see this whole, I like this little war they got going here, Carver High. Your favorite fan base in the world is in Columbus, Ohio. Good evening, Columbus. Great football program. Let's say that first. There's
no question about it.
No denying their excellence and their dominance. And I think they own the Big Ten. I mean, bottom line is
they own the Big Ten. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, Michigan can't beat them. So that's the deal. Like, I wanted to talk to Brandy, right, because I want to see where Michigan's at.
I think next week.
All right, great. Well, my thing is, while we wait for all that, in the interim, you got this whole cheesy thing going on. Did you see them, like Michigan, troll them for their trying to trademark the word the, you know, the Ohio State University? And then so Michigan sent out a tweet saying, you know, of M, the U of M, they always call it. You know,
I thought it was a nice job by Michigan.
Nice job by Michigan.
I did. I think that's it's fun what they did, because let's be honest here, them trying to trademark the Ohio's whatever is stupidity. So, you know, whatever, call yourself the Ohio State University, you can, that's okay, but trademarking it, come on.
So tell me about, do you think, and I have to ask this, do you think that Michigan at home this year, with all their, you know, they're another one like the Browns. They get all this hype. Every year, Michigan gets this, you know, high ranking, and they get national attention. They get publicity like they're going to be a playoff team every year. But the fact of the matter is they never beat Ohio State. Do you think they can beat them in Ann Arbor this year? Are they going to lose again?
I think there's a chance they could beat them. I think this is the year. I think this is the year that
is the year they beat him?
I think so.
Mavi, are you buying
They're going to beat him one of these years.
No, they're not going to
beat him forever.
Yeah, they
okay?
are. Yeah, they are. They're going to beat him every time they play him forever.
I mean, I'm not trusting in the day as much as these guys are straight out the gates, acting like, you know, Urban Meyer Jr. is there just taking over. Nothing's going to be different. He had a good couple games when they're playing panties, but let's see what he can do against the big boys when it comes down to it, you know, the most this year. But still, every year it's Michigan finally has the quarterback Harbaugh needs. They finally got this. They finally got this piece, that piece, and it never comes to fruition. In the end, they always choke. So I still got to roll with Iowa State until they lose.
So did you see this this Mets game right now that I think the shortstop butchered the double play ball and he bobbled the ball, so the bases are loaded with one out, and they're down 6-4 in Atlanta in the ninth.
We're down 6-2 coming into the top of the
6-2, ninth. And now they're trying to pull off the comeback win right here, right? So they were down 6-2 in the ninth. They've already scored two runs, and they got the sacks full right now.
And the game should have been over. Alonso hit one that should have been turned for a double play, and the guy messed it up on the transfer. And by the time his foot touched the bag, he was already losing the ball, so they called it safe.
So this is intense. Mafia, every night your baseball team is getting involved in all these big games every night. Can you believe this? Who's that at bat right now standing there watching strikes being thrown?
Ramos, I believe.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, really? How about this kid? He's just freaking out. What is going on there with this little kid? I like him.
Looks like he took a nap the rest of the game. Has all his energy all
He's
of a sudden
lit,
at 11:43.
He must have just had a popsicle or something. He's lit. Anyway, and so is that – that's Melanson, right? Carver High, is that their new closer?
Yes.
Jesus, do you remember that guy? Oh, he's just making Ramos look terrible. How embarrassing was that at bat? That was honestly, it was like air conditioning.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That guy was swinging at nothing. He was swinging at mosquitoes.
Ball was already gone off the table before he even swung.
I mean, that was the worst at bat I've ever seen. Look at this guy. He missed every pitch by 4 feet.
And that's not even one where, okay, that just dropped out and he's swinging where he thought it was before. Like, he was already swinging where the ball was really low. Like, what are you doing?
Mafia's team is in all kinds of trouble tonight here with two outs in the ninth. Will they get it done is the question. Oh, wait.
Conforto up now.
So they took Melanson out of the game. Oh, Jesus. Blevins is coming in. This will take all day. I guess Melanson isn't the closer. What do you think
that might cause the Mets in the end? Like, they've had this great run. They've gotten back in the mix. But the fact that the only move they made was bringing in a starter when their bullpen in the back end has been so bad might be the thing that does them in the end. Because, once again, Lugo comes in. They took 2-1 lead at the top of the seventh. He comes in. All of a sudden, they're down 6-2. So the bullpen in the back end, the last couple guys, those last three innings, just terrible.
Wow.
But Lugo's been the one guy who's actually been good for them. It's hard to get on Lugo.
During this stretch. He was terrible for a lot of the year before that.
So going back to the college football thing, Carver High, did you see that the Irish I have here, seventh in a national preseason fan pulse poll, whatever that is. So respect to them for giving the Irish some love, but I have no idea what this is. But my question is, what do you think of, because, you know, we've talked about Ian Book and we've talked about how they, you know, lost some guys and that they're just not going to be the same this year. But do you think that there's, that's not bad. Like, so do you think that's going to be dangerous for them having that high of a preseason ranking that they're rated seventh with, you know, the losses that they've had and everything? Do you think, or do you think they're legit?
I've said this a bunch. I don't think they're as good as they were last year. They're not going to go undefeated in the regular season. They're a good team. I think they're going to win 9 or 10 games, but I don't think that they're going to be a team sitting in the top 4 or 5 when we get to the end of the year, because they just have two really hard road games this year, and I don't think they're going to be able to win both of them. They're going to, I think, either Georgia or Michigan, they're going to lose one of those two games. It's just the way it is. And that's the way college football is. You lose one game, you're... Unless you're Alabama or Clemson, you're pretty much out.
So that's it. So there's two teams. See, this is what I have a problem with. I have a problem with there's only two teams in college football. That's nonsense.
Well, there is two teams. They're up here, and then there's a gap, and then there's probably 4 or 5 teams, and then there's another gap, and then there's a whole bunch of them. But Alabama and Clemson are in their own stratosphere compared to these other teams.
So you don't think there's any way in the world that we could get Alabama and Clemson to lose a football game and get them in trouble
and open
the door
for
someone else?
You're going to lose two football games.
Two.
Now and
so one doesn't matter.
If they both lose one game, they'll both be in the playoff again.
That just seems like it should be illegal.
That's just the way it is. They will both be in the playoff. Unless there's 4 or 5 undefeated teams in Power 5 conferences, if everybody's got one loss, you know those two are getting in.
You know, my buddy JBI, John Boy Inc., his daughter, Sammy Sosa, is going to Tuscaloosa. She's there now as a freshman in early admissions and everything. I think what happens is the freshmen go in early, right? They start and go. They had like sorority rush and all that stuff. I saw pictures of her down there at Tuscaloosa. Do you think she's going to be there her freshman year, Carver High, and see a national championship right out of the gates for her first experience going to Tide football games?
God, I hope not.
I hope not, too.
You know, geez. I'm just so sick of them winning.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was the best thing ever, watching Clemson put it on them in that national
title
game.
What's worse? What is worse, watching them win or watching these two, you know, watching these two win or watching the Warriors win? You know how they, like, they didn't get it done against Toronto, but I still have a problem with the whole, you know, Thompson and Durant blowing out Achilles and knees. That ruined them. I don't care what anybody says. So that was never the same after those two went down, if you ask me. Although Toronto played great, it was not the same. It was two biggest superstars on the floor get injured. You're done. And so I'm sick of watching them lose. Who are you sick of watching win more? Warriors, Alabama, Clemson.
Well, I mean, it's tough because we've seen now the Warriors and Alabama both lose this year in the big spot. So you would like to see it be a little bit more wide open in both of those things. And I think that now seeing that the NBA is going to be more wide open this year, there's no question about that. There's more teams with a chance to win. And college football is still the same way. So I guess you'd want to see Alabama and Clemson fall down a couple pegs more than the Warriors. Warriors are, they're down a couple pegs. It's over now. They don't have Durant anymore.
Right.
They're not going to have Thompson this year or for most of the year. So, you know, they're not going to be the favorites going into this year.
Not at all.
Clemson and Alabama are still the unquestioned favorites in college football.
So do you think, Mafia, that it ruins the season that literally by having, because those two are so dominant that they're automatic, that they're locked in as two playoff teams already, that it ruins the college football season, frankly, for everybody else? Or they're just going through the motions. What everyone's doing is just playing their schedule, and winning or losing doesn't matter because you're not going. Only the haves are going, not the have-nots.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I mean, because it's not even like it's with the NBA where you kind of go the whole season knowing it doesn't matter what you were doing. The Warriors were going to be there. It's just who they were playing and who they were beating in most cases until this year with the injuries. College football, at least there's excitement throughout the year. You know, everybody thinks their team's going to be there. You know, everyone's playing for that playoff. The playoff is so much more elusive than it is in the NBA that just being one of those four teams is exciting for all these squads. The problem is once you get there, then you see the matchup and you say, oh, yeah, we got to play Clemson and Alabama. Well, it was nice to make it. See you later. At least for, you know, them, the 3-4 months of the season getting up to that point to the playoffs is a lot of excitement. The NBA, when the Warriors were just dominating, was just boring the whole time.
So there you go. I got to tell you, so, you know, I'm sitting here, and I want them both to lose. That's all I know. But I'm not a, like, I'm not a Georgia fan. And I'm, you know, the Ohio State thing, how, I'm just going to say it, how they expect that Ryan Day is going to take over and they're automatically going to win the Big Ten and be in the national championship playoff.
The
all that
Big Ten.
I just can't. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that first year that he's just going to dominate college football. I'm just not. I have to see it to believe it.
I'm not buying it either.
And they lost their quarterback. And now this new kid's in. I don't care what anybody says. You get the new kid in as your quarterback and problems follow. It's not just going to be smooth sailing for them, if you ask me.
That's why this is the year for Michigan to get it done. And,
but they never get it done.
But it's been four or five years. He's going to eventually beat them.
So this is the year that
he's going to eventually beat them.
So
he's going to beat them eventually.
Harbaugh gets into the playoff this year.
I didn't say he's going to get in the playoff. I said he's going to beat Ohio State.
Well, if they beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten, they're going to the playoff.
Necessarily. They might not. That game, who knows what's going to happen this year in
the
Big Ten.
I cannot believe that you would give Michigan the credence over our Irish. I cannot believe
that. Giving them the credence over us.
I cannot believe that you would put them ahead of the beloved Irish.
I'm not putting them ahead of them, but they're going to their place this year after we beat them last year in South Bend.
Do you have a sleeper team, Carver High? I'm willing to go with LSU and Washington as my sleepers.
I haven't gotten that far along yet in trying to find just a sleeper team to make the playoff, not to win the title. Nobody's winning the title besides Clemson and Alabama.
Do you see how many Big Ten teams they actually put in this thing? Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Northwestern and Michigan State and Nebraska all made this.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. There's so many teams that are live in the Big Ten this year. Do they all have as much talent as Ohio State, Michigan? No, but could any of them win the Big Ten this year? I wouldn't be shocked. It's not a slam dunk. That Ohio State Michigan game might not be for, you know, the Big Ten title at the end of November. It might not. I know it has been a couple of years. It might not this year.
Wow, I think the Big Ten's going to be fantastic. If there's that many teams ranked and tough, I want to see some magic happen in the Big Ten. I would love to see all these teams. And even, look, I mean, did I mention? I didn't even mention Penn State. They got Ohio State, Michigan, and then Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Northwestern, Michigan State and Nebraska all in this list. That's crazy. I mean, that just spells a great season in the Big Ten, if you ask me. I mean, I just think it's fantastic. Meanwhile, Ohio State's worrying about trademarking the, and Michigan's going to go, and I guess they're going to go out and trademark of. Maybe everybody's doing it, trademarking everything.
Stupidity.
It really is. So when we come back, I want to talk about the Browns some more. Baker Mayfield says fans just want them to lose because the hype's so real. Jimmy G had a rough day throwing the football at Niner camp. Now you got Antonio Brown having a little problem with a restaurant. Is that accurate? He's having little restaurant problems? We'll talk Jay-Z. And Stills met with Stephen Ross.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.